I'm sorry, I have to comment. That's the smallest Nalgene I've ever seen. Man.
It's adorable.
I've seen smaller Nalgene.
It is.
You have?
Yeah.
I can't handle the big ones.
Fucking Nalgene.
Hey, yeah,
not like a sausage to go kind of thing.
No.
Sausage to go. TL.
TL.
Happy one day.
Is that your hit single?
Angry next. Come on, baby. Shave an X into my chest.
That's it.
Cause X marks the spot where you, my heart did drop, baby.
Sausage to go.
Sausage to go. Anytime you want to hit it, we can get on the road. Tell me, did you bring some dro? Afterwards, we'll buy some defective snow globes. Going to the snow globe outlet. Out there in Ogdenville, you can fill me up. Afterwards, take some pills. Maybe feel some different things. Maybe split into a different person. It don't matter. Shit, now my name is Sherman.
Sausage to go.
Sausage to go. My name is Sherman. I'm a truck driver with nothing to lose. Got hepatitis C, drink some booze.
Should we go?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, yes.
Kevin Albertson, everybody.
I am Philip.
I am Matt.
First we'll have a little chat,
then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next At Bat.
And this is Next At Bat. I am Philip Simondet. I'm going to mostly take over as host today. The reason I'm taking over is because Matthew McLeod is actually in our guest group today, Cubicle. Hello, Cubicle.
Hey.
Let's go around and say our names.
I'm Matt McLeod.
Kevin Albertson.
I'm Max Leibowitz.
I will be Josh Awind.
Thank you so much for coming, Cubicle. Here's my first question. This is why I don't do this, guys.
It's okay.
You're doing really good.
Yeah. All right. I like the formality.
You're killing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're killing it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how you formed. I've heard a little bit from Matthew, but I want to hear the truth. So why doesn't somebody else tell me how you guys formed?
Does Matthew often lie to you about how he forms?
He only lies
teams
to me.
Okay.
And how, like, the Earth formed, too, right? He'll be like,
there was
a bunch of people.
Yeah, he believes in science.
What?
Yeah.
Science.
Guys.
Science.
Said we weren't going to bring religion into this.
Right, sorry. Right.
But,
it's always there. How did we get together? Well, all of us are in the community.
Did you have a stroke? Are you okay? Sorry.
We are in the community.
We're all members of the wonderful Minneapolis St. Paul improv community. And I believe we all met through the Brave New Workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Six Ring.
Six Ring Circus.
No, it was Stage Match. Yeah, Stage Match.
Yeah. I have known Kevin and Josh for longer than I have known Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Josh were with me in Six Ring Circus, which was the Tuesday night show at the Brave New Workshop for a very, very long time. And I've been around there for about 5 years. You guys have been around there for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then just last year, Six Ring Circus ended and turned into or morphed into Friday Night Stage Match at the Brave New Student Union.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there's another Brave New Workshop, now there's a Student Union. And that's when I met, and we all met Matthew McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the illustrious.
The illustrious.
Yeah. Illustrious.
It was my first performance. It was actually the first show I met Josh. Josh and I were on the same team.
Yeah.
And we had a real good set. It was
killed
fun.
Him.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Awesome.
And then I'll be honest, I'll tell you something funny is that after you guys had that awesome set, Awind came up to me and said, "This guy, Matt McLeod, he's really, really good. We should play with him.
Oh,
we should do some shit."
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
And I said,
one step at a time.
Initially, you guys formed as Top Gun High Five.
Well, Top Gun High Five is a thing of Max and I's little two-person thing. And initially, Top Gun High Five got cast into Six Ring. Wasn't it that?
No. We got a go-go.
Yeah, go-go slide. Yeah, yeah.
Top Gun High Five, is our two-person show which really isn't, there isn't much to it except we come out to the Top Gun theme music and we try to wear sunglasses, but then when we edit scenes, we do the Top Gun high five, which is when they're at the beach playing volleyball.
I don't think you really need to explain it, Max. I think everyone
knows. No, I didn't know what it was. And I had seen the movie a bunch of times.
A bunch?
Probably. Fine.
Two just, or three. Anyway, that's only watch the volleyball scene?
Yeah. And I didn't realize, I just called it the high five for a long time. I didn't know it was the Top Gun. I thought that was the only way that you high five. Is with
that's why you always high five.
Chest and oil and is that too loud?
No, that's actually very descriptive.
Yeah, so we got the Top Gun high five slot in Improv Go Go, and we said
let's add some people,
and we always love playing with the Calbertson, with Kevin Albertson.
Hell.
Whenever someone says to me add someone, I always say Kevin Albertson,
the biggest.
It's true, the biggest, sexiest. The sexiest.
There always seems to be a big guy,
and I'll say also
and a sexy guy.
Yeah.
Kevin and I have been working for a long time together on another wonderful project, which probably not many people know anymore, but a guy named Chuck Shugan.
Oh, don't deny the existence and the knowledge Shugan. Of Shugan.
Yeah, we worked for a long time with an organization called MPLS.TV, which is now kind of defunct.
Oh, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? But it's kind of an arts and culture and comedy website that Kevin started along with our good friend Chris Cloud. And I did a recurring character called Chuck Shugan, who is a Minnesota man who was running for governor at the time, of Minnesota, and all of his hijinks. And so we worked on
that. An Orono man.
Yeah. And that's for another podcast. But that's how we brought Kevin in and then Matt and then we just tried it.
I believe how the actual cubicle format formed was that we were in the backstage at Huge and we saw a water cooler sitting there.
Yep. It was an hour before our show.
Yes. Huge had this water cooler out as their water
dispenser.
It was used.
Used. Yeah. They chose to go to a drinking fountain.
Wait, back up. So people used this for water dispensing purposes?
Yes. I had never seen anything like that.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it hadn't had a hot water valve. There was only cold water, but that's fine. I prefer cold anyway. Who wants hot water besides dishwashers? And
tea drinkers.
Yeah. They hot then cocoa. Replaced the water cooler with a water fountain, bubbler. Or you Sconsons would say bubbler, Sconnies. And I
pregnant pause.
They would say bubbler, and they would be wrong. And they would also call binders hair ties, and they would also be wrong. Mm. And they would say gray duck instead of
goose.
No, we say gray duck. Anyway, back to that cubicle shit. We saw their water cooler. I don't know who the exact instigator was.
It was Josh.
Josh came up with the phone.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, let's take this on stage. Lucky enough, there had been a hand cart right there. Also called a dolly. If you're from Wisconsin. So
it's a bubbler.
It's a bubbler. Yeah.
If you're from here,
yeah.
It's a dolly.
And if you're from Iowa, it's called a
two-wheeler
medealer. And we brought it on stage with us in a defiant act. That rarely happens.
That's true. We changed improv.
Changed the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People didn't know what they were seeing.
And thankfully, Huge sold it for a profit.
Yes.
They subsequently sold the water cooler.
Yeah, which bought the water fountain that's in it right now. So we like to think that we
got them some money.
Got them some real.
Well, we got that cooler exposure that it wouldn't have otherwise had.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no one would have even known.
And if
that
cooler is listening, we'd be happy to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be happy
to
sign you.
Come to your location and sign you.
We will sign that cooler. Why didn't the cooler do the podcast?
It's here.
I don't know.
It's here. I brought it.
It's too big for the podcast.
Surprise guest.
It's right. It's right here next to me. Isn't that right, cooler?
So for people who maybe haven't seen the show, what does the form look like?
Basically, we start at a water cooler as well. It is a hilarious fact. We start at a water cooler. Like, you know, you would have at your job if you work in an office.
You would have at your job.
Yeah.
The idea is kind of like a break room. So the scenes all open off of the idea of a break room where everyone comes together and you're all there getting water and talking over the day's events and whatever is going on in the office. The suggestion that we get is one of a person, a very specific person in the audience where they work and their manager's name. So at least we have a lot of very specifics to work off of. And then it breaks out. Everyone, you know, we kind of discuss the day, and then everyone breaks back to their own cubicle, so to speak, and we all sit at a desk, and then hilarity ensues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but all four of us are on the stage at the same time. It's one scene. It's not a selection of scenes.
You don't see a lot of groups doing mono scenes. Is there a philosophy behind the idea of doing that? Did you want to steer the group into certain kinds of scenes?
I'll start this one. The first set that we did together was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's fair.
We did a montage set, and it was a mess.
Yeah.
And I think that, so we came in, and Josh had a fresh idea, and we were all like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Like, we had fun. And I think that was the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then when we did it the next time, not only was it fun, but it was actually pretty good. I think we all felt like it got better. So
it just requires a little bit of discipline on our part, because when you do a mono scene, one large big scene, the most important thing is to make sure that focus is shared. So it's really easy to have a scene that has, you know, four or five people in it, but then everybody who's an improviser has great ideas popping into their mind at that time. And then things can start going on and happening in all four locations with all four people. And then it's screwed up.
We did that in our first time that we did Cubicle. We split the focus and we had two groups talking at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it was still fun, but it was, you know, we cleaned that up a little bit since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the other big thing, too, is that a lot of Minneapolis and St. Paul improv... a lot of Minneapolis improv ends up being... it's just straight montage.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, let's run a bunch of scenes, montage, and a lot of times the suggestion just goes by the wayside. So you'll get the suggestion from the audience and then never hear of it again after maybe the first, second scene. And I don't think that's a fair thing for the audience to have to sit through, because you ask them, you engage them, and went basically into their face, said, I need something from you, and then don't even use it ever again. Where it's fun with cubicles, I mean, there was a group, the first time we did it, there was a group from a university there.
Yeah, Augsburg.
And we
what was her name?
Joanne.
Mm-hmm. If Joanne is listening.
Thank you.
She's wonderful. Her friends were there. They were from a group. She did some kind of job.
Yeah, they were like tour leaders. They were leaders.
Yeah, it was leadership.
Orientation team.
There you go. Yes.
And
yes,
now,
yes.
I mean, that group will have that, I mean, we legitimized.
We gave them a wonderful gift.
That you're stopping so abruptly. A gift.
No, that was fun, because the information that we got from her, and also there were funny reactions from her friends.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are you're talking to Joanne, you know, and it was like that really informed the rest of that set. So Josh brings up a really good point, is that we tend to, as improvisers, have the suggestion get thrown away immediately. And it is important. We need to engage and do it more. That's what we try to do.
The three of us, Kevin couldn't be there, but the three of us did a set a few weeks ago, and the suggestion was substitute teachers. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the person who gave the suggestion afterwards, and they were just thrilled. They were psyched. I mean, and they actually found some, you know, moments of actual connection, even though we got ridiculous with it, but that's what, you know, we do. We take the suggestion and then go.
Yep.
But they were really excited that, you know, we took their idea and did it with some integrity, but comedically.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about your rapport as a group, because you obviously have some quick banter among each other. You obviously really like each other. I will say, when you guys got here, there was hugging, and I have not seen that since Shortcakes.
I think that just speaks to us as improvisers and people. I know that it's based on, at least the relationship that Max and I have, is very like quick, fast. Talk as much nonsense quicker than the other person. Would you say that's...
I would agree. Right? I would also say it's based in a shared cultural identity that we have.
We're not telling you.
We can't mention that in the... No. Because it's a German soundboard?
I think so. The Behringer soundboard right now is thinking, Daddy Odin.
I left my wristband in the car.
I always think about TJ from TJ and Dave says, which is about improv, which is that it can only really be good if you do it with people, the same people for a while and do it for a long time. I think that largely when it's good with us, and you know, I haven't known Matt for that long, but I've worked with him a lot now, and these two guys, Kevin and Josh, I feel like I know these guys really well. I kind of am at a place, almost, hopefully not too much, but where I kind of know what they're going to do and how their brain kind of works. And that makes things really easy and makes things really fun. And I'd say that's the basis for it. You know, when you know someone and when you're actually friends with somebody and you improvise with them, you kind of know where things are going to go and you kind of think together.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're not even improvising with people. You're just you're just messing around, and it makes improvising that much easier.
Yeah,
because that's all you do with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. Lauren Anderson has a thing when she's leading workshops where she'll maybe stop you around midway scene, and if a scene's going difficult, it's pretty obvious, and she'll go, guys, is this scene difficult, or is this scene easier or hard right now? And everyone will always say, hard. And sometimes they'll say it in character, sometimes they won't. But they, ultimately, that it's, for, you know, as what TJ and Dave said, it is definitely easier when you know people's tendencies, when you know their range, when you know what their go-to characters are. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like working any muscle. You work the muscle yourself as an improviser, just personally, just being it. But if you're with a group for 2, 3, 5, 10 years, it's gonna show.
In the back of your mind as an improviser, you, because we talk about trust all the time, in the back of your mind when you throw something out of your scene partner, knowing, trusting the fact that they're going to accept it and go with it and go with you on it, is to me one of the most valuable things that you can have. And that's why I like playing with these guys.
That's why this group works so well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen you twice in the last run at Improvagogo, and both times you had a member missing and or someone filling in.
Yeah.
So I've got a two-part question. One, why are you so bad at scheduling? And two, what are the... I guess we've mostly been talking about the benefits of knowing who you're improvising very well, but are there benefits of playing with a stranger or filling in?
I would love to answer that. I do have to go. I have another thing that I scheduled for now.
Oh, you Max. You Joker.
Oh, he's joking. Yeah. Oh, I was sad, but now I'm happy.
Because you were late to get here.
I was not late to... Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you were late.
Scheduling.
Scheduling is life. You know, life is.
You can't get four people in the same room.
Yeah, now. It's tough in a community where everybody needs to have a real job.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, with some of the really strict call time rules that there are in the improv community, I would just say that the working with other people's it. Kind of speaking to what Max said, it's working that muscle. It's taking the trust that you have with three people, and I don't want to say forcing it on the fourth, but having that fourth person have to catch up kind of quick. And with this group, I think you just trust that person as soon as they get in there.
You have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And with the people that we had asked to sub and fill in, those were individuals we've played with or been taught by and extreme trust in. So it goes down to trust. And as far as the scheduling is concerned, I can attest to Google Calendar is a great tool. I think everyone should use it. I think Google should pay me a lot of money for saying this. And I think I should get free Google for the rest of my life, even though it is free.
We're sponsored by Yahoo.
Oh. Oh. Yahoo Messenger is a great way to... It's a great... Yahoo... No. Scheduling is... You commit to what you can when you know you can, but people work odd hours and
but this, stuff this does bring up an interesting point, though, which is one of the reasons I really like the Twin Cities Improv community, which is that pretty much nobody in the Twin Cities Improv community is a professional improviser.
Right.
Right. I find that to be a great thing. If you want to be a professional improviser, there's like three jobs here for that in the whole city.
Right.
If you want to be a professional improviser, you can go to Chicago, or you can go to New York, and go to LA, and then it's even more difficult. So the fact that everybody needs to make a living doing other things that are non-improv related is one of the things I value the most about it, because not only is that awesome to have another job that is unrelated to improv, because it gets you a little bit away from improvisation and into the real world, but also the community here is so community driven. There's no competition. There's no,
yeah.
I'm trying to
we're get all a there job, because we right?
I, I'm doing this so I can get a job, and then you won't have a job. Everybody, I think,
It is a pro bono community. Everyone is doing this for the greater good and for the betterment of the community. And like Max said, I don't think that you may have that in other cities, the big three. You may have a strive for that and people trying to be that way and feel that way. But ultimately, there is some cutthroat attitudes mm-hmm. behind it.
Yeah, we're not all looking for SNL. Jobs, great right. if they showed up and casted us, but I don't think we're rushing to the stage to have that happen to us. And I think in speaking to both those points, one is that it's not hard to have someone sub on a team in this town. If you call mm-hmm. pretty much any improviser,
yeah.
they will drop what they're doing and get down to that stage
mm-hmm.
and just for the love of it, like
for
you were saying.
Yep.
Yeah. And to also talk about what is it, what you were saying about the day jobs going mm-hmm. into improv. Yep. I always think it's hilarious because when you walk out of the theater at the end of the night and it's almost like you have to like put the cape away and you're not a superhero yeah. anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to say that we're all these amazing improvisers, but we are. And it's just funny to me that what you just did on stage, whether it's some crazy character, some outlandish physicality, whatever it was, the person you're about to go pay your gas has no idea who you are or what you just did. And it's just funny to me that you kind of slipped that cloak back on and you're just the average Joe once again. I just yeah. think that's kind mm-hmm. of a funny thing about improv and how, at least what I'm assuming most people in this community approach it as.
It's fleeting. The art form is happens up on stage, and those who are privy to see it at that time are graced with the glory that is whatever is happening up there. But whoa. That's kind of the beautiful thing about it. It happens, and
It's gone. Yeah.
And unless you film it, or it's always being filmed, which is what's happening at Huge right now, which
right.
is great.
Yeah, it is.
The fact that you can go back and watch it. Oh my God, thank you, Butch. But like exactly what Max was doing the other week, he was watching an old set of ours that had happened a couple weeks prior, and it was great that we are able to do that now in this day and age, because 10 years ago, you know, it was a fantasy. So it really is, it just is what Josh is saying too. You that high and that rush that you get as soon as you walk off stage after a great set, it disappears into that normalcy, but that's why we keep going back.
And that's honestly that's also why we accept having a bad set.
Yeah.
That's why we are okay with bad improv shows, because I've said this many times, probably if you're going to do improv for a long time, probably going to have about half of your scenes be good, half of your scenes be pretty bad, if not more. And then there's a small percentage of scenes that may be incredible.
That's pretty true about your improv.
Right? But my improv? Oh, well, no, not my improv. My improv is more like a 90-10, 90 bad, 10.
No, okay. Don't. No.
No. But I mean, that's the idea, no, and the risk and reward thing. But I think, you know, when... Because maybe we don't talk enough about having a bad improv set, but we should, because we come off of it and like, man, that stunk.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's done. That's gone forever. So don't need to deal with that anymore.
The benefit is that it's gone.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like you say, is what could you have done differently to make it better?
Sure.
And that conversation doesn't happen enough, because too often ego gets into it, because a lot of people don't. I guess we should talk about it now. You know what I mean? A lot of people
I know exactly
like,
what you're saying, yeah.
You could have done this stronger. Well, fuck you. I did it fine. I don't need to do anything. Sure, who are you to tell me? Look at what you do.
I'll find myself on the way back home after I said if it's bad, thinking, oh, you know, your brain starts to get in that mode of what could have been done differently. Mm-hmm. You know, what could I have done differently, etc. And it's I like having that time to think about that, even if it is during traveling. But, you know, ultimately, it's done. It's over. Less than 100 people were able to see that, so move on. But it's nice to just have that time to think about it afterwards. And it's weird. You don't know if that necessarily helps the muscle or not, self-critiquing afterwards. I think it does, but...
I think that analysis can help a team.
Yeah.
You know, help a team come together and work together better in the mm-hmm. future. I think that it is hard to get to that point of being able to say, hey, Josh, I noticed that you didn't listen to Kevin when Kevin told you this during, and have Josh be okay with that and have Josh be able to say, hey, Matt, you didn't talk for 5 minutes. What the fuck?
That's because you're playing Philip right now.
and have me be okay with that and like and work on like why didn't I talk for 5 minutes? You know, and
but then leaving it at that.
Yeah, and then but I mean going in with no judgment. Like let's talk about it as you know as because we all respect what each
sure.
person does.
Sure.
And we all think that we're each pretty good.
Yeah.
So I mean if we go into the conversations with that. Fine.
I was talking with someone at a stage match this past Friday about that. Just that, oh, there is a lot of love in this community, and it is, like, you know, we've been talking about very supportive. But sometimes that can, I wouldn't say hinder, but definitely, you know, it doesn't help move things forward anyways. Yeah. When you have nice constructive criticism, it's craved sometimes. Going back to Lauren Anderson, she really does a fine job of just kicking your butt.
Yeah.
But giving you truths that are not, they're truths. They're not, you know, this is not a malicious commentary in any way. It's just the truth, and sometimes we don't hear it ever. So it's nice to have that perspective, and you find people just craving that sort of instruction or group mind. So I think that it's beneficial to definitely talk about the set afterwards, regardless if it was good or bad. And definitely, if you're comfortable with your fellow players, call people out, but in a, you know, the most gentle way possible and constructive way possible.
And conversely, if you're not comfortable, I mean, question whether or not you're playing with the right people.
Right.
Because if you can't have those conversations, why not?
Yeah. That's why last week was the last week of Cubicle.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yep. This is our farewell tour. Because okay. Well, you guys don't know how to fucking end.
Well, I appreciate you guys being here. We found out that I can do Matt's job, just not very well. So now let's find out if Matt can do my job in a new segment that we're going to call Matt's Corner.
Oh, we're doing this?
Do it. Why not?
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay. hey, guys.
Are we making this up?
Yeah. This is me making up crazy questions that have nothing to do with improvisation.
Just quick questions.
Yeah. So welcome to Matt's Corner. Kevin Albertson.
Yeah.
Kevin, could you tell me your favorite fish to fry?
Ooh. Now, as a Minnesotan... I have several answers. I digress, but I enjoy the art of fishing. It is an art. Mm-hmm. I really do enjoy it. I wish I could do it more. My favorite fish to fry has to be a good old-fashioned crappie. You can also get sunfish. They're related, but they're different. A crappie has nice meaty fillet. A crappie is a lake fish.
Yeah.
Crappie's
is that like lox?
Crappie is a crappie's a panfish.
Okay. Whitefish?
It's not lox. It's
not lox. I love the lox
it's,
fish.
Yeah, it's spelled C-R-A-A-P-P-I-E, yeah. I believe. And
General.
Yes. They're not very large, you know. They may be like, you know, 6 inches, 7 inches long, but they are quite the panfish. Really good, nice fillets. But as far as the hunt, you know, there's nothing that's going to give you more of a thrill to catch than a good old-fashioned bass. Why are you guys laughing?
I know. I'm in awe of you.
Yeah.
In general.
What?
I'm in awe of Kevin Owenson.
Thanks.
No, you're just, as far as the hunt.
A lot of love in this
room. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like...
I look back to days of yore.
My father would try to take me fishing quite a few times when I was a kid, and I just wanted to go home and play my Genesis. But I really, really wish that I had enjoyed it back then, because I love it now. It's a blast.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Max.
Yes.
Max Leibowitz, what is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, I'm really glad you asked, is... all right, it's Apocalypto, the Mel Gibson movie.
Hell yeah.
And a lot of people think that's really strange of me for that to be my favorite movie, but that is my favorite movie of all time. It is horrifically violent.
Yeah, it
and,
is.
And gory, and just it turns your stomach a little bit. But the first of all, I happen to think, despite our cultural heritage, that Mel Gibson is a very talented and great director. Braveheart,
epic,
Passion of the Christ, epic, and so Apocalypse. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's about the Maya tribe, and the tribe gets destroyed by the big empire, and it's about the protagonist is Jaguar Paw,
Ulak,
yeah, which means almost, yeah, and it's just what I love about it is the visual storytelling of it because, well, first of all, it's all in like Yucatec. Uh-huh. Mayan language.
And it was legitimately in that language.
Oh, yeah. They did a lot of research for it. So it's all in the other language, which is a very pretty sounding language, by the way. Watching it so many times, I actually know a little bit of the language.
Was Danny Glover in it?
Danny Glover was not in that movie.
Okay.
You're thinking of Lethal Weapon.
Or Predator.
He had actually retired by that.
Yeah. Oh, Predator I just 2. Didn't know if I'm he not made sure a cameo.
No. There's no Danny Glover in that.
Danny Glover was great.
You're thinking of Saw.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, the visual storytelling is excellent. I'm always incredibly entertained by it. The first time I watched it, I was incredibly stoned in college. And ever since then, I have really just been...
Danny Glover fan.
Danny Glover fan.
However, that is the stoner movie to watch because it's so intense. And I think it was geared towards stoners. If you go and look at the original trailer for Apocalypto, about... 3/4 of the way through, you can freeze frame it. There was this big hullabaloo about it in the internet a while back when it came out. There's a freeze frame. If you get right on it at the exact moment, Mel Gibson is standing there with the some of the Mayans. They're all like in this white paint, but it's basically like stone, basically, because they're stone cutters, these slaves. And he's got his hand around him, and he's got this giant beard and that giant hair that he had when he went all batshit. And he's got a huge joint in his mouth. You can look it up. This is a real deal. So
I'm gonna look it up
on Yahoo.
Oh yeah,
on Yahoo.
Oh yeah,
on Yahoo.
Oh yeah,
not
oh, yeah.
on
yeah.
Google. On Yahoo.
On Yahoo.
Look it up on Yahoo.com. And yeah,
because I just don't think stoners are looking for Easter eggs in movies.
No.
So that's a little odd way to do it.
Yes,
but no, that's awesome.
I never would have thought that stoners would be associated with Mel Gibson either.
I never thought that he would be one. Apparently, yeah. So who knows?
Danny Glover.
And Josh,
sure,
Awen,
yeah.
It was a conversation with you. You were the originator of Phillip's Corner.
Nice.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I'm glad that we're doing this, man.
Yeah. When you go to a restaurant, what is the one thing you want to be able to order from a drink menu?
From a drink menu, I don't mind drinking martinis.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole like James Bond martini kind of thing. I like the dirty martini. My wife will usually lament quite a bit because she doesn't want one that's too sweet. So she does order a drink that... Are we talking about me personally?
Yeah.
What I want to drink.
That's what the question is.
I like to drink cheap brown liquor.
Okay.
That if I could just go out and do... If I'm alone in a strange city, I would probably just go to a bar and order cheap brown liquor.
That's also how you do most of your parenting at home is when you have... The cheap brown liquor at your disposal.
My daughters know how to pour me drinks.
Okay, that's what I was just saying.
Scotch. Scotch, whiskey, yeah. Tequila,
are there any
beer?
Brands in particular that...
No, like cheap, like what, Golden Eagle.
Okay.
Patriots bottle of, I don't know, X, brand X.
Brand X.
Yeah.
But like Kevin says, it's really about the hunt.
It is. Right? Ultimately, I do like a fatty filet that's a good pan. when I'm eating a fatty filet off of a panfish, I like a cheap broadleaf. And I don't, yeah, that...
A crappie. Yeah.
A crappie, C-R-A-A-P-Y.
Sounds like American X. Yeah. It's the crappie of yeah. the dark drink.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'll drink that. I don't like beer. I'm going to go, hopefully the Surly's and the Summit yeah. breweries in town are not listening.
Okay.
But I don't gravitate towards beer.
It's one of our sponsors.
Sorry. Them. Sorry, beer.
Yes.
way to swing for the fences, guys.
Diversify.
Yeah, no, so that's kind of...
Yeah, no, that's
and I'll drink a lot of it too.
Okay,
if given yeah. the opportunity.
Okay, yep. Philip, question.
You're going to ask me a question?
Yeah.
Oh my God, ooh. Matt's corner is so much different than Philip's corner.
Fuck. Yes, it is.
The rules have changed.
Philip.
All right, Matthew.
Have you fulfilled a lifelong dream by running an interview?
I have never had this dream.
Next up, Pat.
All right, you maggots. We got mail to deliver, and there are only three men that are going to do it.
Yes, sir.
You men ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
We are in Korea, gentlemen.
Thank you. All right, sir.
There are bombs landing out there.
I hear them, sir.
There are men dying.
I smell them, sir.
Mail that needs a delivery.
One note. Can I ask you a question? Maybe now is not the best time to deliver mail with the war
what?
And everything.
Larry,
listen up, you maggot son of a bitch. There are people out there dying for you to have liberty, and you need to deliver their letters.
Okay, he's got a point, Larry. I mean, it's a good point.
Enlist in the mail part.
What happened? I mean,
did you enlist in the mail brigade if you didn't want to deliver the fucking mail?
I hate my wife.
That's a good point, Larry.
Yeah, yeah, we all hate our wives.
Oh, it's not just me? Okay.
No, I despise my wife.
And
whole
I figured
family.
I didn't want to go into a fighting war, and I figured, oh, good.
I love Korean soup.
And then I also figured that when the actual fighting happened, I would be safe because I wouldn't have to go out. Because who needs mail during the war? I would assume that there would be more important.
Soldiers, it's a morale thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you were doing this strategically then, yeah.
You like Korean soup too?
I love the soup, the dumplings.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I don't know,
sir. Back to what you were saying, yes. Sir. I for one can vouch.
I'm
for
sorry,
these guys.
Gentlemen. I was busy not giving a shit about what you were saying.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Sir,
you spit in my face a little bit there.
Sam, did you get any mail today? It's tough. For
I haven't
trench.
Gotten any mail at all. I'm just waiting for my mail to show up.
Right, my morale is so low right now.
I know, and I've been shot in the leg 4 times today. Boy, could I use it.
Oh, Jesus.
5 times.
Damn it.
Here's a letter for you guys.
Oh.
You guys have to share it. You have to rip it in half and share it.
Well, it's better than nothing.
I have to get to the next foxhole, gentlemen. Have a nice day.
Thank you so much for your
thank
service.
You. Thank you for dying for our country. Try the soup. I gotta go.
Incoming letter. Sorry. It's been a busy day. I know. It's kind of weird. This is a Sunday and all.
Is this one for me?
This is
or
from,
is it for
it's
him?
For both of you. Both sorry. Of we're cutting it down. It is called This Letter for You. It's from the Publishers Clearinghouse. You may have already won.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. My morale is going up very quickly.
At least 2 points.
Mm-hmm. Right, Sam?
I'm here for the outgoing. Any outgoing mail?
Oh.
I can bring any to you.
Here is the bag. Mm-hmm. We've written a lot.
I can see that. Yeah. Lovely ladies on the other side, perhaps?
Well, hopefully. We're just sending them out randomly.
Okay.
Hoping that one of the ladies will like us eventually and write back.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, Teresa, I'm just... I'm craving some man right now.
It's weird, Mary, because I looked in the mailbox today.
Yeah.
And I got this letter... Mm-hmm. Postmarked from Korea.
What?
And no return name.
What?
Just seems like a random letter.
Korea, where is that even? Is that?
It's over in Asia.
That's in the Siberia?
It's somewhere around there. There's all. It's. But it's. How do we open it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I got nothing else to do today. There's 18 layers to this letter.
Dear ladies.
Ooh.
I'm alone in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering what you were doing about 8:30 over their time.
Wow.
Maybe we could find a quiet place and I can thumb my nose at you.
Ooh. I don't know about the thumbing. I'm intrigued.
Thumb me at all.
That's a big thing here in Korea, is thumbing noses. That's how we do it around here.
I'm glad he clarified that.
Yeah.
With a new paragraph.
It's nice to be clear.
Return, yeah. Return. We really need some ladies to marry us when we come home. We need some love.
I like that he actually read the indentation aloud too.
Can you
also
send
weird
some?
That because it's handwritten.
Sure,
but I suppose he wants us to return with him.
No, return. Like, let's move down the letter.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Oh, because otherwise, I thought those were just
Tom typewriters. Yeah, typewriters.
Were just commands
that
he was doing to us. Return.
Return.
Page
oh.
two.
Oh.
Flip. Oh.
Okay.
An announcement.
Please come over here and pick us up.
Oh, pick you up?
Yes.
Sounds pick us exactly. up. We can actually release. Get our.
Can't pick anybody we can, up.
Well, I've got the Chev Bel Air out in the drive.
Oh,
we
that's could, right, I suppose.
We could go get
I thought
some.
Maybe he meant physically pick them up.
Like, oh, no.
The ground.
No, I don't have the upper body strength.
I don't have the lower body strength.
Well, you do have some frail thighs.
That's true.
You wait, I'm sorry. You have frail thighs?
That's true.
Never mind. Please oh, disregard.
He's not,
this.
He's not interested.
This letter. Went so poorly.
Thank Therese, you for your time.
Oh,
Therese, have a nice
it's
day.
Spontaneously combusted.
Oh, no.
Bye-bye.
It's fire. Oh, it's fire everywhere.
Bye-bye.
Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Oh, my God.
Therese.
So the plane leaves at 4:45. I'm going to need someone to fly this plane for me tonight at 4:45. I'm due back on the mainland.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
You guys are a bunch of quitters.
Can't be done.
The United States government doesn't have a can't do it. We just spend more money on it. Find someone who can.
I'm busy quitting smoking. I think I'm just going to not do that either.
I appreciate your honesty.
Picking up the smoking that he's not doing anymore. Somebody be busy doing that.
It sounds like you're in kind of the picking up things mode. Maybe you should do it.
Can't do it.
You're also picking up his trash.
Picking up his trash and his.
How about his wife? You picking up his wife?
Yeah, he picked up my wife too. Up. She's gone.
I got a Chevy Bel Air in the back there. I'd like to go over.
So
up
you
his
now
wife.
Are you now Jim and Jim is now Lenny? Is that how this works?
Yeah, I'm picking up his whole identity.
I actually don't have a name currently.
I picked it up.
I apologize for calling you the Lenny then, guy with no name.
It's nothing's fine.
All right, I need to leave this place at 4:45 on an airplane.
Can't do it.
And if guy without name and Jimmy can't do it, is anyone else out there that can help a brother out?
You know what? I'll say I'll do it.
Thank you, guy with no name.
And then I'll quit.
Thank Corporal. You. Yes. Oh, sir.
Incoming letter for you.
I appreciate that, mail carrier.
Oh. Dear Mr. Man.
Hi.
This is Therese.
This is Anita Brown.
We received your letter.
Ladies.
Indent.
I like
your ellipses. Style.
Ooh.
Underscore. And we really, really loved hearing from you.
However, I personally take offense that you do not enjoy the frailty of a nice, thin thigh.
... Although, it may be a situation where we could meet up and we could pick you up, as it were.
If not, hyphen, we would love to meet you halfway, perhaps on the island of Oahu.
Bold. It must be done. Bold. It's very important. Bold. And italics. It's really, really fun to be with us.
Underscore. Strikeout.
Highlight that. Delete. Underscore. Home run.
We'll be waiting.
At 4:45 at the airport. Save. Export as PDF. Log out user. Shut down.
Boo.
I still don't like women with small thighs.
Brrr.
Yes, ladies, come right this way.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, my God, your thighs are tiny.
I know. It's all right. We shrink wrap them every day. It's why. It's why.
We're really happy to be here on a plane.
Oh, yes, of course.
So much.
And the wheelchairs were a very nice note. Considering that we barely can walk.
Well, we don't want you to have to get exercise around here. No. That's not what this U.S. Army is about.
Exercise is so unhealthy for you.
Absolutely. You can die and get tired.
It's true. Yeah. And the U.S. Army is here to take care of you.
I'm so glad it's your prime directive.
Absolutely. Sure. Mm. We're over to see a potential new lover.
Oh, yes.
Oh, new so lover. Are you recipients of our letter writing campaign?
We are.
Oh.
Yes.
It's good to see that that our new initiative is working.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that.
You too.
You have any applesauce in this airplane?
Any cocktails you can give us?
Cocktail applesauce?
We're really excited about the food and the drink.
I sure do.
Hello, ladies. Here's a cocktail.
Oh.
Here's a cup for each of you.
Fellow stewardess.
Hi there. Nice to meet you. I also have a letter.
Oh.
We just got it. We got it from another airplane. They just flew by and gave it
to us. What do you say we open it up? Okay.
Ladies. Exclamation mark. Exclamation mark. Return, return, return. The bracket. Left side bracket. Right side bracket.
So far, it looks like it's in Korean.
Well, it's some type of mathematical. I think it's a math equation.
It looks like a proof.
A proof?
It looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like colon parentheses. Mind. It looks like that stuff from The Beautiful Mind that he used to write on. Well, this movie hasn't even been made yet. What am I even talking about?
No, you're talking about the guy, the mathematician.
Google Translate.
Do you ladies need me to bring in the code breaker?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Does he have a beautiful mind? If he does, I want to see him.
He is a strange one.
Is he privately Australian?
He is privately Australian.
Bring him in.
I'm sitting right here on the letter waiting. Never mind. I apologize.
What?
I'll have another drink.
Sure, you don't want to stay and be the code breaker?
Of course, I'm the code breaker.
He is the code breaker.
That was a code.
All right.
He's the best.
Yeah. Let me see the paper.
What a boomerang smell like?
Privately.
Privately?
Privately.
Yeah, you know, we won't tell nobody.
The accent is very good.
Also, you could.
Hello?
My God.
That's so. They like the sound of that.
You make me red.
That's my private.
Stay undercover. It's okay.
Privately, I can trust you.
It just sounds a little British, but whatever.
Where are you from?
We us?
Yes.
We're from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like that at all. Not a bit.
I'm French.
I'm a code breaker.
All right, from Australia.
Radio.
Okay. Well. What's the code say?
What's it say?
He's a spy. The letter was sent to the wrong address, and that you ladies are in terrible danger.
Yeah, that's one question. What city in Australia are you from?
Kangaroo.
Melbourne.
Kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
Oh, my goodness.
Joey.
Joey?
It's a suburb of Kangaroo.
Oh, it's underneath.
Underneath, huh?
Yeah, in a pouch.
Okay.
Would you like me to finish the translation?
Oh, yeah, please do. I'm sorry. Please, go ahead.
You're in danger.
No.
Yes, the cocktails you've slipped.
What?
The cocktails.
Oh, my applesauce drink.
Yeah.
Do I laugh at your silly barbecue accent?
No.
Barbecue? Is that a barbecue accent?
You think
you said you're from Memphis.
Oh, I get
some hickory. Hickory.
Mostly broil.
I don't eat anything.
I can tell by your thighs, you skinny little twits. Listen, you're gonna die. Horrible death.
Oh, Christ.
Horrible. He can't even help. You're gonna die. Awful, horrible, painful death.
What's weird to me is that you haven't looked at it. You've just been looking straight at us. You haven't even looked at the paper.
Maybe he's like an ethereal code breaker.
I mention he's also a psychic?
Oh my God. You read the code through osmosis.
Like the Hitchcock movie.
Mm. Yeah. Like the shower scene.
Oh, that one that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
We watch the dailies. They send them to us.
The talkies.
Yes.
The talkies.
Wonderful. We have them all across the pond.
Which pond?
The biggest one, the Atlantic.
Oh, I thought that was an ocean.
I thought you were talking about the pond that the kangaroo drinks out of.
In Joey. We remember.
You've been?
Joey. Joey? Why did they cancel that program? I always liked Joey.
He seemed like a good chap, Joey. He seemed like a good chap. So shame him and what, Monica never had it out with each other? They never snogged at all?
Yeah, he was odd that they gave him the show.
Yeah, yeah. Of all the people that give a show from that show.
Well, are you really gonna, are you gonna have a show named Chandler?
Yeah, right?
That's a terrible show.
It sounds like an awful production on the telly. Why would you do that?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston is pregnant, Jesus, though, right?
That's what I heard.
Oh, here's your letter back. Yeah, you're going to die. It's going to be awful.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a nice rest of your flight.
Thanks.
This is my stop.
On the can we
use our phones now?
Yes.
Good.
Oh, good.
And we're landing.
Oh, good, good.
Oh, God, thank goodness. Hold on to your thighs.
Yes, of course.
Hold on to your thighs.
Buckle them in.
Buckle them in.
Ladies, this way.
Oh, that was quick.
Nice. They have a ramp and everything.
Aloha, ladies. Hello. Welcome to Oahu. Here are your Lays.
Thank you.
Ooh. My potato chips.
Thank you so much.
Lays for you. Sour cream and onion.
Thank you so much.
We're so glad.
I'm so glad it wasn't the ketchup. What the f? Who would have that?
The Canadians. The Canadians have the ketchup.
Oh, is that where we are?
I thought the Canadians put mayonnaise on their potato chips.
No, that's Belgium.
That's hollandaise.
That's where you get your waffles.
They have Belgians in Canada.
No, we have the poutine up in Canada.
Ah, Korean.
Welcome. Yes, I am Korean Canadian.
Nice to meet you.
I am an Oahu to help. Well, good
welcome,
to you.
Welcome to. Here's some Lays for you.
I like your black glasses and your tan onesie.
Thank you.
I like the kimchi that's hanging from your beard.
Yeah,
that was an accident.
Oh, it just
lunch.
That's fine.
If you'll come with me, I'll show you to your rooms.
Oh, great! We have rooms.
We have rooms.
That's right. You've been arranged for.
Oh,
everything is taken care of.
Oh, goodness. My God!
That's... You're made women
now. Oh, wait! Am I in the mob?
You are. You're now officially part of the mob.
I'm in a Oahu mob.
The Korean Canadian mob.
Ah,
it is not particularly, how do you say, I don't know how you say.
If you ever need someone to kill anyone,
whack
someone. Yeah. I am very accustomed to piano wires.
Oh,
I grew up in a music hall.
Okay.
So I can take care of that anytime. Yeah, yeah. I know how to unscrew them.
Yeah. I was a chicken woman. The chicken child.
Teresa grew up in an egg.
So you're good with the chicken wire?
Oh, yeah, sure. Anything related to chicken wire, chicken pox, chicken soup, the book Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Sure.
Which
Tennessee fried chicken?
Oh, that too. Yeah, from straight out of Memphis. Anyway, those are our skill sets.
Yes, of course.
And here we are, as you see. You have the penthouse.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies.
Oh, the privately Australian man.
Hello. I've been waiting for you.
Oh my goodness. Hello.
So nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
I apologize for not wearing anything.
It's fine.
It's just the Oahu air is so nice on my jennies.
The same temperature as your body. So, yeah.
Yeah. Feel free to take something off your thighs. Tiny thighs.
Okay. Right. Take off these wraps anyway.
Take off the bubble wrap.
Why do you wear bubble wrap on your thighs?
That should be self-evident.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Really
well
just
done.
We're like flamingos. What?
It's just a bone, it looks
like. Yeah. It's like Popeye, but in the legs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
A spinach casserole?
I can't eat spinach. I don't eat anything.
So sorry it is. I apologize if I offended.
No, it's okay.
Mary just my... doesn't like food.
I don't like food. When I was younger, I had a burn accident. My nostrils were burned, as was my tongue.
Right.
So I can't taste anything or smell it either. Right. So for me, it's all about texture.
So if I fought it in your mouth, you couldn't taste it or smell it.
Well, I would welcome the experience. Nope.
I'm gonna go.
It feels like.
I feel like you too.
Can you smell and taste farts too?
Yes, very more so than the average person. See the thing. That was like a double fart because, basically, that same accident. Stop it! This is like, you know what it's like. It's like 3D fart.
It's a turn on for me.
Well, I wish I could say the same. It smells like a butt.
Right.
Yeah, you should know that. Came out of your butt.
I'm not used to eating spam. They have spam everywhere here on the
Sperm?
Spam.
Spam.
Sperm?
Spam.
Spam. They love meat. Spam here.
Spam.
Oh,
from Minnesota. Okay. From Minnesota.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. No, yeah. I just figured that you two seemed to be hitting it off really well, and I was going to go see if that French-Canadian-Korean man was available.
I killed him on the way in.
Oh.
That's too bad, because...
He was trying to kill you two. I told you, you're in danger.
He kills with kindness anyway. He seems so nice. Seems
that's what he would have used. A kindness knife.
I apologize. My fault.
The fart still is lingering, and I know that it doesn't bother you, Mary, but it bothers me, and I just, maybe I should go.
I kind of liked it. Thank you. It's like when you were a kid and you used to turn the vacuum on reverse.
Sure, yeah.
And remember. Suck on the vacuum dust.
Yeah.
I like it.
Should we do this?
Let's do this.
Should we do this?
Let's do this.
I'm gonna...
I'm done. I'm finished.
I'm gonna take a swim.
Aussie, come back.
I'll be back.
Okay.
Door closes.
I wish you would just close the door.
I know.
Maybe he wrote the letters.
Oh, you think?
Well, I don't know. It's the same kind of thing whereby if you describe with words what indentation and paragraph you're going to use, the same must hold true for your actions in life. Mm-hmm. Whereas you see how he just he walked away and he said, closes the door?
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
I think he has voice commands for everything.
That might be.
It's the future.
He's still here.
He's still here. It's the future, huh?
He's omnipotent. Must be it. He's omnipotent.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the show Nipotent.
No,
I thought you said he's on the show. He's omnipotent.
He's
it's a great program, this Nipotent.
He's pitching.
There's a mid-season replacement for Joey.
He's pitching a nipple tent.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Good to see you.
How are you again?
Good.
Good to see you.
About the same, really.
You look thinner.
I'm ready for another round.
We'll have a go.
Okay, if you don't mind, Therese. Oh!
Stop trying to get ketchup out of that bottle.
Oh! Oh! Hit the 57 mark. Oh! Hit the 57. Heinz! I'm done.
I'm gonna go have a shower.
Ketchup everywhere.
My apologies.
That's okay.
It doesn't matter. We're in paradise. The door.
Amazing. Oh. Again, it happened.
I'm sorry. I've been craving, man. You really haven't had a chance.
Ladies, it appears he is...
You're alive!
I'm not...
You're alive!
No, but he shivved me in the side. Oh. It appears that this man is not the good man that he appears to be.
No!
No!
No, not at all.
No, it is true. He is a bad man.
He farts into my mouth.
He farts everywhere. Yeah. He farted into my wound.
No! It's infected. He's
in the neck with his fart.
It's true. I probably don't have much time left.
Okay. Well, you better fucking say what you gotta say then.
So get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Don't be stupid. All right. Jesus Christ, are you dim?
Let's get the elevator. Clop, 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 clop.
Where do you think you're going?
I don't know, towel boy. Where are we going?
With my last act, I shall kill this towel boy.
No.
Oh!
Get the Heinz bottle out of here!
Oh!
My goodness!
Mid hallway.
It's my fault. Stop. I was in another room getting ketchup for someone
else. I could feel you through the wall.
I apologize. Oh! Sorry, like, the ketchup so just makes me gassy. I apologize. That's so good. I hoped I didn't stop you from exiting quickly. My apologies.
No, it's fine. I'm glad you could take the time out for us. What with there being a war that you're ignoring.
And everything.
Yes, it's true. I'm ignoring the war.
You're also ignoring my friend Therese here. You know,
I tried to have fancy her, but she didn't take to my thoughts.
Ding.
U.S. mail carrier here. U.S. mail. One letter for all three of you.
Good Lord.
What are the odds of that?
All three of you.
Let's open it up.
There's nothing. It's a blank. It's blank.
It's totally blank.
It's totally blank. This is so anticlimactic.
I sent you a fart. in the letter. It was just a fart in the letter. I thought you could have a laugh at the end of the day. You're welcome. I want to be here for it. I want to be here to see you enjoy off the fart in the middle of
it. Next up, and that's our show. Thank you to Cubicle. Thank you to Kevin Albertson, Josh Awin, Max Leibowitz, and me for joining us today.
Great job, Matt.
Thanks. And thanks to Philip for taking over hosting duties. That's awesome. You can see Cubicle nowhere because we're not signed up to do anything coming up. So if you want us to do stuff, get a hold of us at
nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, just get a hold of me there. That'd be a good way to do it. You can see Kevin, Josh, Max, and myself all over at the Brave New Workshop Student Union at 2605 Hennepin Avenue South with Friday Night Stage Match. For the next several weeks up through June 15th on Fridays intermittently, all three of them are both players and coaches. Kevin is just a coach. The other two are players and coaches, and I am just a player. And so is Philip Simondet.
That's right, I'm a player. I am in the Friday Night Stage Match, not this week, but next week. You can also check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Philip Simondet. There's music, there's sketches, there's my other podcast, Minimum Fare.
Cheater.
There's back episodes of that up on the YouTube channel. You can also still check out my Game of Thrones music video. Search for Game of Thrones will make her horny.
You can find that video on funnierdie.com and make sure that you vote it funny or else you die. You can also see Kevin, Josh, and Max one more week, I believe, maybe two more weeks, at Huge Wednesdays with the Kids Table. And you can also see me over at Huge Wednesdays through the end of May with A Night Out. And that is Andy Katzung, Max Maliga, myself, Carolyn Blomberg, Tanya Albert, and Joe Halverson.
Listeners, we would really appreciate your feedback. If you go over to Next at Bat on Facebook, we should have a poll up there, and we want to get your responses. We are interested in knowing what is working in the show, what needs improvement. There should be some polls up there about how long you would like episodes to be. Please answer those over at Next at Bat, and also just send us comments directly if you have them.
Any feedback you have, we want to hear. Also, check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review, and it helps us out a lot. So please do that.